Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. So we continue our discussion with the issue of as-sunan ar-rawatib. As-sunan ar-rawatib. And we have seen in our previous class that the non-obligatory actions are from the greatest means to earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to gain His pleasure after establishing that which is obligatory, after establishing properly and correctly and sincerely the obligatory actions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believers, they compete in the ranks in this life and in the hereafter, and they compete for the mercy and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing these that are non-obligatory. Those actions that are non-obligatory, they're considered at-tatawwu', or they're considered nafil. At-tatawwu', or nafil, or al-mustahab, or al-mandub. These actions that are non-obligatory, some of them are more highly emphasized than others, and they are known as it's this type of sunnah, which is not obligatory, but it's highly recommended and it's highly emphasized more than the other non-obligatory actions. It's known as a sunnah al-mu'akkada. A sunnah al-mu'akkada. A highly emphasized sunnah. So this is our discussion here. A sunan al-rawatib. A sunan al-rawatib. And these are the non-obligatory salawat that are attached to the obligatory salawat. Sometimes before, sometimes after, and sometimes before and after the obligatory prayer. There are many non-obligatory types of salah, and we have to focus at this time to not be confused with the different types of non-obligatory prayer. We have the non-obligatory prayer, for example, the night prayer, at tahajjud, or qiyamul layl. Also, there's al-duha, and there are also other non-obligatory prayers as well, prayers before asr, and the likes like this. But what we want to discuss now is as-sunan ar-rawatib. As-sunan ar-rawatib only. And then after we discuss this affair, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will also discuss some other issues as well from the non-obligatory prayers. But with regards to the night prayer, the author, he has a chapter specifically for that. But the topic now is as-sunan ar-rawatib. Then these are as-sunnatun mu'akkada. These are highly emphasized, and they are a specific number. And likewise, they have specific times. The sunan al-rawatib. Al-rawatib bimana al-thawabit. Meaning that they are established and they are performed daily and they are performed constantly. And just as the obligatory prayer is performed constantly, likewise, these sunan should be performed constantly as well and continuously and consecutively. And this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, this is from a sunnah al-mu'akkada, yani highly emphasized, that whenever he was a resident and he was in his homeland, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never left these. He never left these non-obligatory prayers. And these are from the highly recommended sunan. From the highly recommended sunan. And we have seen likewise that they are a means of rectifying any deficiency that could have occurred in the non-obligatory prayer. And likewise, they are a means, as sunan al-rawatib, they are a means to protect the obligatory prayer as well. That means of protecting and preserving the obligatory prayer so that one would not neglect the obligatory prayer or be negligent with regards to the obligatory prayer. And likewise, it's a means to rectify any deficiencies that may have occurred in that obligatory prayer. Likewise, these non-obligatory prayers, especially as sunan al-rawatib, are from the means of gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and drawing near to Him and increasing in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see here the author, he mentioned, and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala. Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, radiallahu anhuma, sallaytu ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I prayed along with the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What this means in this narration, I prayed with him, meaning I prayed not with him while together in a congregation, but I followed him and prayed what he prayed. And this is in reference to the non-obligatory prayer. Salatu ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rak'ataini qabla al-dhuhr. Two rak'ah before al-dhuhr. Two rak'ah before dhuhr. Meaning after the adhan, but before the obligatory prayer. After the adhan of dhuhr, before the obligatory prayer, this is what is intended. Rak'ataini qabla al-dhuhr. Two rak'ah before dhuhr. Before dhuhr, meaning after the adhan. After the time of dhuhr, as salat al-dhuhr has entered, but before the iqamah, and before the establishment of the obligatory prayer of dhuhr, he prayed two rak'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa rak'atayni ba'da dhuhr, and two rak'ah after dhuhr. Wa rak'atayni ba'da al-jumu'ah, and two rak'ah also after jumu'ah. Wa rak'atayni ba'da al-maghrib, and two rak'ah after al-maghrib. After al-maghrib. Yani wa rak'atayni ba'da al-isha, and two rak'ah after al-isha. The author, he says in one wording, wa fil lafdhin fa amma al-maghribu wal isha'u wal jumu'atu fa fi baytihi. As for al-maghrib and isha and the jumu'ah, he prayed those two rak'ah in his house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the author, he mentioned, وَفِي لَفْظٍ أَنَّ إِبْنُ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا قَالَ حَدَثَتْنِي حَفْصَةُ أَنَّ نَبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَانَ يُصَلِّي سَجْدَتَيْنِ خَفِيفَتَيْنِ كَانَ يُصَلِّي سَجْدَتَيْنِ خَفِيفَتَيْنِ بَعْدَمَا يَطْلُعُ الْفَجْرُ وَكَانَتْ سَاءَةً لَا أَدْخُلُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِيهَا. And in one wording, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he mentions that Hafsa, she narrated to me, meaning his sister, Hafsa bint Umar radiyallahu anhuma, she narrated to him that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pray two light rak'ah after the rising of the fajr. And this was a time that I would not enter upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning Abdullah ibn Umar. He would not be able to enter the home at this time of the Prophet, and therefore he would ask his sister about this affair. He would ask his sister about this affair, Hafsa radiallahu anha. In one wording likewise of this narration that is found in Sahih al-Bukhari, Ibn Umar, he says, radiallahu anhu, رضي الله عنهما حفظت من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عشر ركعات. I memorized from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 ركعة. يعني عشر ركعات. 10 ركعة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to pray. So we see that, and this clarifies the number of Sunan al-Rawatib. In the narration here, the author mentioned, I prayed with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rak'atayni qabla al-dhuhr, rak'atayni ba'daha. That's four. Two before dhuhr and two after dhuhr. That's four. Rak'atayni ba'da al-jumu'ah. And that's in place of, that will be in place of dhuhr on yawm al-jumu'ah. Rak'atayni ba'da al-maghrib. That's six. Rak'atayni ba'da al-isha. That's eight. And then likewise, along with narration that he mentioned, narrating from his sister Hafsa radiallahu anha, and two rak'ah before Fajr. That makes 10. So therefore we see that the number of Sunan al-Rawatib, according to the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, is 10. 10 rak'ah. 10 rak'ah in one day. And that is two before dhuhr and two after dhuhr. Two after Maghrib and two after Isha. And two before al-Fajr, making 10. Making 10. So this is the number of Sunan al-Rawatib. And this is the times that they should be prayed. They are coupled with the prayer, either before or after. Either before or after, as has been mentioned. But likewise, it has been narrated as well from Habiba, radiallahu anha, that she mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من صلى اثنتي عشرة ركعة في يوم وليلة بني له بهن بيت في الجنة رواه مسلم. And in one wording, تطوعاً. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in this narration that whoever prays 12 rak'ah in one day and night, then a house in paradise will be built for him by way of those rak'ah. A house in paradise will be built for him because of those rak'ah, because of those rak'ah. In one wording, meaning non-obligatory. 12 rak'ah, non-obligatory. 12 rak'ah, non-obligatory. So we see that in this narration, the number is mentioned 12. And likewise, it has come from the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا يدعو أربعا قبل الظهر وركعتين قبل الغداء رواه البخاري. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he never left 4 rak'ah before الظهر and 2 rak'ah before Fajr. So here in the wording of Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned instead of 2 rak'ah before Dhuhr, she mentioned 4 rak'ah before Dhuhr. And she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never left them. He never left them. So we see in this regards then, this 12 that is mentioned in the hadith of Habiba, it's not mentioned clearly which 12 they are. It's just general. And this is in the wording of Imam Muslim. But likewise, the hadith of Habiba radiallahu anha, it has been narrated as well by Imam Tirmidhi and also by An-Nasa'i rahimahumallahu ta'ala. And in these wordings, the clarification of the times of those 12 rak'ah has come. And we see that Imam Tirmidhi, he mentioned in the narration of Habiba radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من صلى في يوم وليلة ثنتي عشرة ركع بني له بيت في الجنة. That whoever prays in one night and day 12 ركع, then a house in paradise will be built for him. And then he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أربعا قبل الظهر, 4 before الظهر, وركعتين بعدها, and 2 after الظهر, وركعتين بعد المغرب, and 2 ركع after المغرب, وركعتين بعد العشاء, and 2 ركع after عشاء, وركعتين قبل صلاة الفجر, صلاة الغداء, and 2 ركع before the prayer of الفجر, and that is صلاة الغداء, صلاة الغداء. So therefore we see in the mention of the hadith of Ibn Umar, there are 10 ركع, and in the hadith of Habiba radiallahu anha, there is 12. And the difference between the two is that in the hadith of Ibn Umar, there are 2 rak'ah before Dhuhr and 2 after Dhuhr. But in the wording of Habiba, and the encouragement to pray 12 rak'ah in one day and to have a house built in paradise, there's the mention of 4. Of 4 rak'ah before Dhuhr and 2 after Dhuhr. 4 before Dhuhr and 2 after Dhuhr. And likewise, it is clarified from al-Mu'minina Aisha radiallahu anha as well, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never left those 4 before Dhuhr. 4 before Dhuhr. So we see that the ulama have mentioned, gathering between these narrations, that sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed 10, and sometimes he prayed 12, and the majority of the time he prayed 12. And this is what he encouraged in this narration for the one to have a house in paradise built for him. This is based upon those 12 rak'ah, the 12 rak'ah. So it's mentioned that sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed 10, and other times he prayed 12, but the majority of the time he would pray 12 sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, the minimum number of Sunan al-Rawatib is 10, in the manner that has come in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and the most is 12, in the manner that has come in the hadith of al-Mu'minina Habiba radiallahu anha. And this one is more virtuous, and this one has the reward coupled with it, the reward of a house being built in paradise. A reward for a house being built in paradise for the one who maintains them, and for the one who preserves them, and the one who prays them daily. The one who prays them daily. Therefore, we see that the best way to pray a sunan al-rawatib is that it will be 4 before Dhuhr and 2 after Dhuhr. four before dhuhr with you pray two and you make taslim. You pray two more and you make taslim. Like this. You pray two raka, you take make taslim, and you pray two more, you make taslim. And then after dhuhr, you pray two raka. And then after maghrib, two raka. And then after isha, two raka. And then before al-fajr, two raka. This is 12. This is 12. And the one who performs these, he has the house that Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had promised for that person. A house would be built for him in Jannah. And we see that the Jannah is established in this manner by the actions of worship and the good deeds. And from the means for the houses to be built and to be established in Jannah for those who reside there, may Allah grant us residence in His paradise and allow us to enter His paradise by His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the means of those houses being established are the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being established in this life. So therefore, a believer, he will work hard in this life to prepare for this hereafter. And he will establish his hereafter by establishing this life. He will establish his comfort and ease and goodness that he will have in the delight in the hereafter by striving hard and making much effort in this life, working hard now and making the sacrifices and putting in the effort now, so that bi'idhnillahi ta'ala one can have Jannah and paradise and the pleasure of Allah. One after the one who enters paradise, there will be no toil or no hardship. There will be no sweating or difficulty. Rather, it will be ease and it will be joy. But it's something that one has to work for in this life. From the means of working for that is to establish these 12 rak'ah. We have the issue now of where should they be prayed? Where should these be prayed? In one word, we see here that Ibn Umar, he mentioned, radiyallahu anhu, فَأَمَّا الْمَغْرِبُ وَالْعِشَى وَالْجُمُّةِ فَفِي بَيْتِهِ. As for al-maghrib wal-isha and the jumu'ah, he prayed them in his house. He prayed them in his house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, he mentioned in that his sister narrated to him that also the fajr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayed in his house. So we see that leaves the dhuhr and the asr that he prayed in the masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many of the ulama, they mentioned this would be because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was busy or he was out. And likes like this, this is why he did not pray them in his home. And he prayed them in the masjid because of his occupation, how he's busy dealing with the affairs of the people and the likes like this. And he would not be in his home at this time. And he will not return to his home at this time, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we see that the best place for a believer to pray as sunan ar-rawatib is in his home. And this is in general, all of them. If it's possible for a believer to pray all of them in his home, and this is easy for him and it's facilitated, and there's nothing prohibiting him from that, then this is better for him. It's been narrated from Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اِجْعَلُوا فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ مِنْ صَلَاتِكُمْ وَلَا تَتَخِذُوهَا قُبُورًا. That make some of your prayer in your house. And he makes some of your prayer in your house. And do not turn your houses into graveyards. And it's not permissible to pray in the graveyard. And likewise, there's dead, and the graveyard is dead, and the remembrance of Allah is not present there, and also one cannot pray there. And likewise, the one who does not pray in his house, then it's as if his house is from the houses of the dead, because of the mention of Allah being absent from that home. And the house comes to life with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the graveyards, it's not allowed to pray there. So do not make the house like the graveyard, any a place where it's not allowed to pray, but rather pray in the homes. Rather establish the prayer in the homes, meaning the non-obligatory prayer. Likewise, it has been narrated from Zayd ibn Thabit, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, صَلُّوا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ. O you people, pray in your homes. إِنَّ أَفْضَلَ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَرْءِ فِي بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. That verily the most virtuous or the best prayer of an individual is that one in his house, except for the obligatory prayer. Both of these narrations are muttafaqun alayhima. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encouraged, and he, by way of speech, verbally, encouraging the people to establish the non-obligatory acts of worship in the home, and the non-obligatory prayer, to establish them in the home. And likewise from his sunnah al-fi'liyah, from his actions, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would pray as well, as sunnah al-rawatib in the house. So therefore, it is recommended for a believer to pray a sunan al-rawatib in the house, to pray him in the house. And this is the case except for whenever an individual, for example, he is not able to go to the house. Maybe he's coming from his work, or maybe he's coming from some other business or something like this, or some other issues he was doing outside of his home, and then he comes to the masjid for dhuhr or for asr or for any of the prayers, and it's not possible for him to go home and the lights like this, or it's difficult, then he would just go to the masjid and pray in the masjid, and there's no blame on him. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Or possibly there is a class after the prayer, so therefore, instead of going home to pray, for example, the sunnah of Maghrib, instead of going home to pray, he will stay in the masjid for the class or to benefit from the lecture and the likes like this, then he will not just leave the sunnah al-ratiba because he wants to pray in his house, but rather the time is going to go away. He's going to miss that opportunity, so he'll pray it in the masjid, and there's no blame upon him. Or if a believer is just sitting in the masjid from prayer to prayer, waiting for the next prayer, reading the Qur'an, or making dhikr, or the likes like this, or studying by himself, in any case, he's not going home after the prayer, then he will pray the sunnah in the masjid. And there's no blame on that. But as for the one who is going to pray in the masjid and then go directly home, then it's recommended for him, it's preferred for him to not pray the sunnah in the masjid, but to go home and to pray it in the house. But this is likewise in the case of somebody who has that custom, and he knows that whenever he gets home, he will pray it. Because shaitan, sometimes he will whisper to the people and encourage them to do good, and then cause them to forget later or to be negligent. And for example, somebody will say, oh no, I'm not going to pray the sunnah now, I'll pray it when I get home. But whenever they get home, they don't pray it. Whenever they get home, they become preoccupied. Whenever they get home, they forget. Whenever they get home, they become negligent, and then they do not pray it at all. As for this individual, then it's better for him to pray in the masjid. Pray in the masjid while he is still remembering the prayer, and while he's still in a state of remembrance, and he's not heedless and he's not forgetful. As for the one who says, I'm going to pray when I get home, and then he forgets, or he's negligent, and or he becomes lazy whenever he gets home and he doesn't pray, then this is not befitting. This is not befitting. Rather, this person, he will pray it in the masjid and then go home. But for the one who can go home and pray in the home, this is better. This is better, and this is more preferred. And this is better for an individual for more than one aspect. And from those aspects, or from those benefits of praying al-rawatib in the house, is that it is better for a person with regards to ikhlas and with regards to sincerity and purifying his intention and his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being far away from riya and showing off. And likewise, it's a means of obtaining the goodness. It's a means of obtaining the goodness in this life and in the hereafter, and bringing khayr into the houses, and so that the houses will not be considered graveyards, or they will not resemble the graveyards where the name of Allah is not mentioned and where their prayer is not established. And likewise, it has been narrated from Jabir radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِذَا قَضَى أَحَدُكُمْ الصَّلَاةَ فِي مَسْجِدِهِ فَلْيَجْعَلْ لِبَيْتِهِ نَصِيبًا مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ. That if one of you finishes his prayer in his masjid, then let him save a portion of that prayer for his house. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ جَاعِلٌ فِي بَيْتِهِ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ خَيْرًا. Because verily Allah, he will make good, he will put goodness in his house because of his prayer in his house. Because of his prayer in his house. So therefore, from the benefits likewise of praying the sunnah in the house is complying to the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Although this command is not an obligatory command, rather it's a recommended command, and it's allowed to pray in the masjid. But this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has advised. And in this narration, it's in Sahih Muslim, he's clarifying sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this is a means of having goodness in the house. That Allah will bring goodness to the home by way of this non-obligatory prayer being performed there. And from that goodness, that which has preceded, how a believer will be able to strive to be sincere and to be far away from showing off. And he will go home and he will pray while nobody from his brothers and the likes like this is aware of him. And he will continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public and in private. In public and in private. And whenever people see him, whenever the people do not see him, he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he strives against his soul to purify his intention and his worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Likewise, from the benefit in the khayriya, or the khayr that will be in the house for establishing the sunan, ar-rawatib, in the home, is that the children, they will see the father that he prays, that the father he leaves to go to prayer and he comes home and he's not finished. He will leave to go to prayer, and the children will say, where did Abi go? So he went to Salah in the masjid, and whenever he comes home, where's Abi? He's praying, and there's the house is established, the prayer in the house is established. The children, they are cultivated, and they know that the parents, they pray. The parents, they prostrate, and they recite the Qur'an, and they make ruku', and they face the Qibla in their home and outside of their home. That the children, they are aware of this, and they see this. And at this time, to show this and to display this for a father, for example, or the mother, any of those who are in charge in the household, for their children to see them praying, this is not like showing off. This is not considered showing off. Rather, this is a means of tarbiyah, that a believer, he will want the children to see him, not so they praise him, but so that they see that their father prays, so that they see that their father bows and prostrates before Allah, and that he begs Allah and calls on Allah alone, and that they will be raised upon that, and they learn from their parents the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. That the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal is not restricted to the masjid, rather it's in the house. Rather, Allah is worshipped everywhere a believer goes. A believer is always worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by complying to his commandments and staying away from his prohibitions. In the house and outside of the house, and in the masjid, and in the market, and in the job, and wherever one goes. So this is a good intention, and so that the family, they will see the prayer being established. So the believer, he will have the intention to pray for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. At the same time, he is being a leader and a role model in his house and in his home. And the children, they see their father and they see their parents worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and applying this deen in their home. And applying the deen in their home, this is a great benefit. This is a great benefit, tarbiyah, for the children. Because the children, whenever they see the parents doing something, they follow that. And whenever they see the parents saying one thing, and then likewise they do that, this has a great effect on their cultivation and their upbringing, and on how they grow. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us upright and good role models for our children, and for our brothers, and for our sisters, and for our companions, and that we will be a means of guidance for the people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not try us in our deen, and to not hold us to account for our mistakes and for our errors. And with that, we close. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.